can't stay to work late. Gotta leave and get ready for my second date with a pretty girl that I met at the pharmacy. Right in the prescription line, I take a pill for my social anxiety. I get a table and a nice bottle of Chablis. Now it's getting late and there's still no sign of her. I have another glass of wine. All I know is the wine lasts longer when you don't gotta share it with someone. All I know is the steak tastes better when I take my steak tastes better pill. Fantastic, and I never felt as good as how I do right now. Except for maybe when I think of how I felt that day, when I felt the way that I do right now. Right now, I feel fantastic, and I never felt as good as how I do right now. Except for maybe when I think of how I felt that day, when I felt the way that I do right now. Right now, right now.
Hello and welcome to the One Monkey Media Podcast. I am Chris Parker, the monkey, and with me is the incomparable Allie. How's it going, Allie?
It's going. I'm planning to take over the world at the moment. How are you?
Okay, now I'm a little bit frightened by that, mainly because you haven't let me in on the new plan.
Well, I have nothing to do, so, I mean, you know, what am I supposed to with my time?
I guess that's true.
I've given up baking better than sex cakes, so, you know.
Well, that's because you've learned now that if your baking is better than sex, you're doing sex wrong.
That is very, very true. Very true, but I found that I'm actually doing sex right, so it doesn't actually matter.
That's unfortunate for all the people listening, but I guess good for your significant other, I suppose.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, we're not complaining.
There you go. So, for those people who don't know, Allie and I have this, had, I guess, this world domination plan we started rolling out about 5 years ago.
We still have it. I'm just adding on to it, you know.
Yeah, but I feel like it didn't materialize because it's been 5 years. We started out with it was going to be one tank, and then we were going to go into being able to capture an aircraft carrier and convert it into a dance floor with a disco ball.
I've added more disco balls since then.
Yeah, but it's been 5 years and we still don't even have the tank, so I'm thinking we need a new plan, and that's exactly where this podcast comes into play.
Shit, we can't even find the tank.
Yeah, well, hopefully we'll be able to find how to do a podcast and get it up and have people listen to it, and that'll be part of the new plan, you know?
Yeah, I'm liking this new plan.
Yeah, it's not as full frontal assault and violent as the other plan was.
Exactly.
Yeah, it sort of creep in there and get inside their heads and
then we can take over the world.
Exactly. And they'll want us to. They'll just say, you know, okay, we've had enough. Let's just let these two go.
Exactly. See, you know, why didn't we think of that before?
Well, I think because 5 years ago podcasting was practically unheard of, and now we're in good company here at this point. So part of starting a podcast is to, you know, tell people about it because we want people to start listening to the podcast. And, of course, that starts with all the people on Facebook and Twitter and all the people we know. And so I started telling people that I know about it. Mostly what I got was, oh, isn't that precious? How cute, you know, that kind
of thing. Isn't that precious? You're not a goddamn cat.
I know. I even had a cat named Precious when I was growing up. This little black furball Persian cat with black hair everywhere. This is actually the only cat that's suntanned. You leave this cat out in the sun and it turned brown instead of black. Seriously, it tanned. It was great. So, I mean, I started telling people and all they had to say was, you know, oh, well, isn't that great? Like, they really didn't think it amounted to much. One of my friends said, oh, who are you podcasting for? And I said, well, myself. And he said, oh, that should go well. So that was a really good one. Now I understand that you talked to your significant other about it. How did that conversation go?
You know, I don't think mentally he understands.
Like what a podcast is or...
Well, I just don't think he understands this sort of technology.
Okay.
You know, I don't think, you know, when I say, oh, I'm doing a podcast with Chris, he's like, okay, whatever. Like, I don't think he sees the goal we're trying to reach.
Or that a podcast is something that's public and being presented as an entertainment piece for other people.
Exactly.
Like, he just thinks, oh, I'm doing a podcast with Chris. It's Chris and Allison doing one of their crazy little things together. Who cares?
Exactly. Like, I think that's what he thinks.
Right.
And the thing is I don't think he views me as a quote-unquote intellectual.
Okay.
I don't think he views me as funny. I just think he looks at me as it's Allison. You know what I'm saying?
Like, right.
He doesn't know, like, I mean, I'm sure if he would actually sit and listen to some of our conversations, he would have a completely different view of how I see things.
Right.
Because I'm not stupid. I'm not stupid by any means.
Well, you keep telling yourself that, and eventually, like with the classy thing, people will believe it.
But it's just one of those things where I don't think he, and that's like, I told my dad today, I'm like, hey dad, we're doing a podcast. And he's like, oh, that's cool.
Right.
Like, he'll actually like back me up on it. Not yeah. Look at me like what the fuck ever. Like, okay, hang on.
Right. Okay. That's not... So you're baking a cake then. All right. Well, let me know when it's done.
Yeah. Let me know when you're done. Okay. Sure. Which is kind of sad. Like, look at what I was telling you. You know, you want to blame the fact that fucking people over in Malaysia make 7 goddamn cents to how people were raised in America. That is not even on the same, this isn't even the same boat. Like, I didn't even say anything about the U.S., but still, you take it back to how kids are driving around in Escalades nowadays. I said nothing about that.
Probably not in Michigan. Kids are...
Little people over in Malaysia making 7 cents an hour are making goddamn t-shirts for Old Navy, not building parts for Escalades. Like, it doesn't even, you can't even relate that in any way, shape, or form.
Right. So, well, and the reason that these people are able to, I mean, I suppose what you could say is the reason people are able to afford Escalades for their kids is that, you know, they're rich enough by not having to pay workers in their factories, you know, but...
Well, I mean, either they're rich enough or they're overextending their credit limit.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Which is probably the case here in Detroit now.
Oh, absolutely. Well, and I don't know about now, but I know, you know, a few years ago, they were just giving out credit to everyone. I knew people on welfare getting credit cards, you know, not grotesque spending limits, but, you know, $1,000 spending limit on a credit card, and you know, they're pulling down food stamps.
Right, exactly. I don't know if you should be able to actually have a credit card and have food stamps at the same time.
Right. And
then you're actively, I mean, whoever that company was, for example, Credit One, or Capital One, say it was Capital One, they're actively looking to get fucked over.
Well, they're actively looking to screw you over by making you max out your credit card and owe them money for the rest of your life, as long as you can pay, you know, them. That's the thing. A credit card company doesn't want you to have a zero balance.
Right.
They want you to make those minimum payments for the rest of your life. They want you to max that credit card out and make that minimum payment, because that's how they make money, right? They don't make any money if all you do is spend $500 on your credit card, and then at the end of the month, you pay off the credit card. They don't really make much in the way of money. They'll make, you know, a couple of bucks at best. Right,
but not what they're looking for.
Right.
And they must hate my mother. My mother does that.
Oh, yeah. My mother does the same damn thing. She's like that. She ended up actually canceling having a credit card canceled on her because the balance was so low. They said to her, she didn't pay the balance for 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
The balance was 35 cents. I kid you not. The reason was that at this point in time, you still had to mail in, you know, your payment.
Right, like, and you're paying more for the goddamn stamp than you are for 35 cents.
Which was her exact point. She was like, well, as soon as I get around to using your credit card and having a balance, I'll absolutely pay you. And they're like, no, if you don't pay your 35-cent balance now, because they couldn't even charge a real interest on that, right? Like, what's the interest on 35 cents, you know? Like,
Right.
You know, even at 20%, you're still looking at, you know, what, 6 cents? So she's, you know, 7 cents, whatever. She refused to pay it until there was a real balance, and so they cut her off, and she had her credit card revoked on her for that. I mean, she still had 7 other credit cards, but...
Right, so that one really wasn't a big issue.
Yeah. Well, these are back in the day when they used to send you a credit card in the mail without unsolicited. You know, like...
Right.
At least now you have to at least apply for the damn things.
Right. Like, you get those like, little cardboard plastic... Though, you know, those little, like, fake ones with... It'll say, like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 0.
Yeah.
On it, yeah.
10, 15 years ago, the bank would actually send you out a real credit card.
Oh, yeah.
Just for being with the bank, right? Like, they would just send you out a credit card. You know, that's essentially what they did with one of the credit cards I had. The other one that I had was brutal. It was, oh, this is a horrible story. Okay, so... I'm going to college. This is for broadcasting school. Mm-hmm. And I don't have my my student loan hasn't come through yet because I hadn't actually attended the first, like, I did attend the first day, but this was before I moved out to Ottawa to go to school at the beginning of August, and school didn't start until the end of August. I didn't have any money, so I went to the bank and I said, you know, hey, you know, I'm a student. Can I get some kind of, you know, student line of credit? They said, what kind of income do you have? None. And they're like, okay, we'll give you a credit card for $500. I'm like, all right. So they gave me no income whatsoever, a student credit card for $500. The credit card ended up being eaten by a bank machine 3 months later. You know, I was fairly good with it. You know, I used it that first month before my student loans came in. So I don't know. I had like 120 or 130 bucks on it. And then one of my roommates got a hold of it. And I kid you not, most people probably don't think it was my roommates, but I kid you not, one of my roommates got a hold of it. And he charged pornography. This was back in the day of, you know, like the beginning of the internet. Mm-hmm. So it was all like AOL based crap.
Oh.
He charged like 60 bucks worth of porn on it, and then a bucket of chicken from KFC.
A bucket of chicken, huh?
And a hooker.
How do you charge a hooker?
They do it all the time. Like, they're like,
do they actually carry Visa machines on them?
The answer specifically to that, I don't know. I assume it's similar to, you know, like, swipe your card here kind of thing. If you can imagine where I'm swiping my card.
Where the fuck are you gonna swipe it? That's not gonna be unsanitary.
Well, you want to disinfect the card right afterwards.
Oh, but... sure. Okay, so now let me just bust out my cleaning supplies.
Well,
my credit card Lysol.
I don't wish to make fun of prostitutes all that much, but I'm guessing if you're the kind of person that's frequenting the prostitute, you're probably not overly worried about your credit card being, yeah, the thing infected, if you know what I'm saying. Like, you're sticking parts of your own body into their body. Yeah. But it gets charged like it was some kind of, you know, entertainment services for $190, you know.
Right, but I mean, like, I didn't realize they'd come that far in this day and age.
So, I mean, it was, yeah, no, absolutely, it was crazy. I ended up throwing a hubcap at him and making out with his sister for revenge. So
you couldn't find something a little better than a hubcap? A hubcap? Was your...
I don't even know why there was a hubcap in the living room, but there was. He hid behind the couch.
Oh, yes. Because that would be my first thing to do, was just jump behind the couch if someone was throwing a goddamn hubcap at me, aside from laugh at them. Because that's probably what I would do first.
Oh, come on. You've seen some of those hubcaps. You know what they're like. Some of those can be nasty.
Oh, I've got hubcaps in my own car.
Yeah. See, you've got weapons. Dangerous, dangerous weapons.
Well, I also have heels, so...
Yeah, no, I don't mess with the heels.
Yeah, see?
The other credit card was just sent to me in the mail when I opened up credit or a checking account and a savings account at a bank, and 3 weeks later a credit card appeared at my house, and I was like, I didn't ask for this, and technically speaking, I probably was fraudulent in getting it. Like, I never applied for it. But when I got the account at the bank, you know, they asked me, this is right after I moved back to Canada. They asked me, you know, where are you working? I was like, well, I work for Creative Broadcast Solutions, which was my own company, which I'd had for a very long time, but didn't have. And what's your position there? Creative director. Awesome. 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 We love you. So they sent me a credit card with a $1,000 limit.
They didn't even like question you?
No.
That had to have been like way before the days when people would sift through your trash for the littlest amount of information on you. Because, 10 years ago, that shit wouldn't have happened.
Dude, this was after you and I met. This is less than 5 years ago. Yeah.
Here?
No, this was right after I moved back.
Oh, okay.
And now, after having that credit card for a year and a half, they sent me a gold card. I have a gold card.
Wow.
I know. I actually have three credit cards right now. I have they're all maxed out and not at all good. In fact, one of them is over my credit limit. The gold card. See, here's what they don't tell you about gold cards. As long as you're not going past double your credit limit, your gold card will never be rejected at point of purchase.
Okay.
So, if you give me a gold card with a $1,500 limit on it, say, or $5,000 limit, and I go to the place and, I've reached my credit limit, but I still want to buy a pack of smokes, you can buy another pack of smokes. You can buy, up to double your credit limit. The point that they make is that you need to then pay that off before the end of the next billing cycle. If you don't, here's how they get you. It changes your interest rate to 30%.
Holy shit, 30%? That's ridiculous.
And fees and fines.
Fees and, wow, you just don't get the fees, you get both.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So, no, it's ridiculously bad. I have to do something about those credit cards.
You should probably pay those off and not utilize them anymore.
Yeah. Well, technically, one of them's paid off, but I don't want to use it at all. The Visa is actually at zero balance right now. So.
Why are you not using it?
Because I've gotten in so much trouble with the MasterCards.
that I could understand that.
That I would rather starve than, plus I'm pretty good at convincing KFC to give me free stuff. So
KFC really didn't screw up on your order.
No, they did. I wouldn't actually lie about something like that, but I didn't. I would never do that. I'm just not that guy. Like, if I'm going to... I'm not saying I wouldn't dine and dash, but I'm not the kind of guy that's going to go in somewhere and say, you know, you gave me crap food. For a couple reasons. One, it could get somebody into trouble. Like, when I went to KFC, the thing is... here's what happened. So I walk in the door, and they know me there. And this is so bad that they know you at a KFC Taco Bell.
Yeah, I wouldn't admit that.
Yeah, to the point where they see me walk in the door, and they drop chicken sandwiches into the fryer because they don't because chicken sandwiches don't keep, they make those to order. So it takes 5 minutes for you. You know, you're waiting 5 minutes for your chicken sandwich order. So as soon as they see me walk in the door, they go to drop chicken sandwiches. And so I walk in the door and they say, you know, do you want your chicken sandwich? This guy just sort of goes, drop to. And I said, no, hell no. And so he and the manager come over. He's like, what's wrong? I said, well, here's the thing. The last two times have been horrible. The first time, you know, some guy used sour cream instead of mayo on my chicken sandwich.
How can you screw that up?
Well, because because it's a Taco Bell, right? Because it's the KFC Taco Bell.
Yeah, okay. Ew.
Yeah, it's combined, so they've got just those big metal, you know, juice squirter thingies.
Right.
You've seen that, you know, and they just
And they like the hideous.
Yeah, they got one for mayo and one for sour cream, and obviously the dude was not paying attention and used the sour cream one. Now, I didn't know this until I got all the way home because I don't like eating at, you know, look, I'm a fat dude. I'm going to be honest about that. And I don't like eating in public. It's not because I stuff my face or anything like that. It's just one of those things where if you're overweight, you feel like people are watching and judging you whenever you eat.
That's horrible. I hate that. Even when people just watch you eat, that's ugh.
Yeah, and so you're feeling all self-conscious, like you know, they're just waiting for me to do some sort of fat guy thing, like leave a chunk of cheese in my chin beard, or you know, like you know, I don't know what they're waiting for, but I hate eating in public, so. It's actually the only reason why I eat at this KFC Taco Bell, because I actually, you know, apart from the Fry Supreme, I really don't like any of their food, but, it's within walking distance of where I live. So if I'm going to eat out, that's where I'm eating out, right? Especially in the winter months where it's frickin' cold and I can't, you know, like, I'm also a walker. So I, you know.
When did you start walking?
My entire life.
Well, I suppose you don't have a car.
Right. And when I was on the street, you know, there's nothing to do. Okay, I kid you not, there is nothing to do when you're on the streets. So, like, the first 2 months of living on the streets in Toronto, all I did was walk all day long. It's how I know every nook and cranny of that city, because you've got nothing to do, and because you can't really sleep much, right? Like, you can only really sleep for about 3 or 4 hours, because it's either too bright or there's too many people moving about, or, you know, you just can't fall asleep until about 2 o'clock in the morning. And in Toronto, because it's on the water, you know, it starts getting bright down around there fairly early. And also that's when, you know, the temperature is the coldest. And despite what temperatures may say, you know, it may say it's 60 or whatever Fahrenheit, down on the street, it feels like 40, you know, in the middle of July.
Right.
Like, it feels real damn cold, you know, at 4 o'clock in the morning. So, you know, you're not able to fall asleep until about 2 or 3, and you wake up at, you know, 4 or 5. So, you know, there's nothing to do all day long except walk around.
Right.
You know, you figure out a way to pay for your meals that day and your smokes or whatever it is that you're into. And once you've figured that out, you get that. And after that, you're just walking, you know, and I had friends. So, I would walk from, you know, one friend's place to another, and, mm-hmm. you know, and then when I was trying to clean up, my grandmother lived on one side of the city and I lived on the other, and I used to walk over to her house with my dog, to get food, you know, because it was the only place that I could really get food.
Right.
So I would walk from,
why didn't you stay with your grandma?
I was a very bad human being, and nobody liked me.
Ah, I see.
Right, like I was a meth head. Right, like, come on, nobody wanted me in their house. But you know, she would feed me, so that was good. So I mean, I've been walking. I walk my whole life. That's all I do is walk.
All that's flashing before my head is cheesecake.
cake.
That's what's flashing in my eye. I don't know why. Just is.
I don't know, but that I probably should be upset about that somehow. Is it because that we used to order takeout from a place that was about 10 feet away from our house? And they would have to deliver it to us?
Why?
That wasn't me. You know that, right? It was really not my decision. I would have actually, and although as much as I loved the cheesecake, the deep fried cheesecake,
anything will ever, that was better than my Better Than Sex Cake. That cheesecake was just amazing.
Yeah, deep fried cheesecake is a special treat. I would have preferred though, like the walk over to, who is it? Who are the chicken people in the gas station?
Right. I don't know who those people are, but they got some good chicken.
Right. I would rather go over there and get myself a 99-cent Arizona Southern style sweet tea,
mm-hmm.
and you know, a handful of chicken strips and potato wedges, and come home rather than, you know. The real reason why we would order from that place that would deliver to us is that they would let us do it on credit.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, they would let us order maybe two or three meals on credit, and we were poor, so it would be good to get those, you know.
Right.
A day or two before payday, you know, and then have
that
to pay them.
That place was so good. I'm so sad they closed.
Yeah, Grinders.
That was like a very sad day in this area.
Yeah.
At least for me.
I bet you the chicken is still there.
Oh, it is there. I just drove by this morning. It's still there.
The gas station chicken.
Mm-hmm. Which, technically, gas station chicken, you should really... I mean, I would be a little bit hesitant because, you know, it's a gas station, right? Like,
right. You shouldn't trust chicken from a gas station.
Correct.
And the thing is too, is that gas station also had, I don't know if they still do, but they had at the time, Krispy Kreme.
Yes. And they have ice cream too now.
Oh, really? You could get your gas station chicken and your iced tea and Krispy Kreme. Now I have to admit, I have, to this day, never had a Krispy Kreme.
I haven't either. They look so disgusting.
Yeah, that's one of the things. The thing that bothers me about the Krispy Kreme is the same thing that happened to me over the sliders, White Castles.
I've never actually had a White Castle either.
Well, I have had a White Castle. Here's what happened.
Oh,
here's
dear.
The thing.
This is going to be bad.
Yeah. So this is when I first moved to Michigan, and I'm living down at Grosbeck and 8 Mile.
Okay.
And the White Castle is at 7 Mile and Van Dyke, I think, or 7 Mile and Grosbeck. Anyway, so I mean, we're talking about in the heart of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the person I'm living with at the time, she says, you know, it's probably a good idea to go to White Castles. And I said, why? And she just said, it's amazing. White Castles is the best ever. I'm like,
what?
All right. Right. So
I can't believe that.
No, this is the truth.
She said that.
Nope, it's true. She said that it's absolutely amazing. White Castles is the best. And so I'm like, okay, whatever, we'll go check out your burger place. And I get there, and I'm like, well, I don't know if I'm going to like them. So I get up to the counter, and I'm like, can I have a slider? Like, how many do you want? Just one. What? Just want a slider. Okay, we don't sell them in ones. We only sell them in sacks of 5, 10, and boxes of 20.
Like someone that says I sell them in a sack of, you should just run.
Yeah, you shouldn't eat anything that, you know,
comes in
a sack of. Yeah, it's never good.
It's like, let me just grab my sack and let's go. Like,
well, And but here's the thing. Okay, so we order a sack of five, and I'm like, okay, well, I'll have one, and you know, and I get it. And for anybody that doesn't know White Castles, they're steamed. Like, everything's steamed.
And it was just
Yeah, so it's just this, like, this soggy glop of cheeseburger, and it's, you know, bite size basically, you know. I mean,
it's
really
like,
itty
it's like
bitty
a
thing.
one and a half bite burger.
Right.
Like a swallow.
And, yeah. And so I'm looking at it and I'm like, okay, well, I'll give it a shot. So I take it and I try to eat it. I get about halfway through. Like, I take one bite and I'm like, oh, this is gross. I finish the whole thing and I'm like, okay, those are disgusting. I never want to eat here again. And so that was the decree. She was very sad and upset about that, but that was the decree. We're never eating there again. And then 2 weeks later, we're at home. I don't know. We're watching TV or some stupid thing. I don't know what we're doing. And all of a sudden I go, we need to go to White Castles. I'm really craving some White Castles.
Like, why? And, why would you? I mean, they have a little steamed pickle. Ugh.
I don't know. Well, I pull the pickle off. I'm not a pickle. I like pickles, but I don't like pickle on food. Like, I like side pickles.
Yeah, I'm the same way.
Yeah, and I love bread and butter pickles.
Oh, those are the best thing Dill ever made.
Yeah, Thanksgiving dinner, and, you know, that Thanksgiving dinner is whenever that pickle boat comes out, you know, and people cut up various kinds of pickles. You cannot let me near the bread and butter pickle plate, because I will scarf the entire thing down. I love those things, and I like, you know, I like, sometimes I like dill pickles, and I like them, especially, like, if I'm having a real deli sandwich, like, from a real deli.
Right.
I like a side pickle. But I don't like pickles on anything, so I pull those right off. Anyway, I couldn't believe it. Like, really, I went in 2 weeks, I went from, this is the most disgusting thing I've ever had, to, I'm really, really craving those right now. Like, I need my heroin fix craving.
I can't believe bad. You would ever crave White Castles. That is disgusting.
No, and it happened two or three more times.
No wonder I have more class than you.
Oh, please. Let's not get into a class warfare discussion here.
Please, come on. I have a little bit more class than to walk into a White Castle.
You've never... You see, here's the thing. I had no choice. I was dragged to one. You've never had to be dragged to one. And you would have the same reaction as me to the bulletproof glass and the woman behind the thing with the spinny carousel, putting your sack of White Castles on the spinny carousel. You would have the same reaction. You'd be like, this is the most disgusting thing ever.
Because it still is. Would not eat anything that came out of a sack.
Because I was going to go real dirty on that one. You know that, right?
I was waiting for it.
This is not what I hear, Allison. There's got to be something good in a sack. Let me see. Sack of quarters. But that's used to hit people. Sack of doorknobs. Sack of... Well, I mean, there's
sack
a sack of...
doorknobs?
That's a Simpsons reference. Well, there's a sack of potatoes, I guess. That's not bad.
Well, potatoes aren't horrible.
No, but I mean, you don't want to eat potatoes right out of the sack. You're going to have to do stuff to them.
Yeah, you have to clean them and peel them and slice them and put them on the oven or on the stove. And
maybe you do have more class than me, because I'm just thinking, well, you just chop those things up and throw them in a frying pan. It's fine. Don't clean them. Don't.
Well, you know, I like to eat things that are clean.
You know, I think my problem with potatoes stems from my stint in the Air Cadets. Too much peeling of potatoes.
You were in the Air Cadets? Why am I just finding out about this now?
Because once again, it's another tale of how Chris can't say no to women.
Chris, I have known you for 5 years. How am I just hearing about the Air Cadets now?
But here's the thing. I'm embarrassed about the whole story because what happened was I was minding my own business at school one day, and there was this teenage girl, high school girl, and I was in grade 7 or 8. It was at the end of grade 7. And there was this high school girl. She had come and she was in her uniform, which made her boobs look huge. I kid you not. She was very hot. And she came to me, and she said, "Would you like to learn how to shoot guns, do martial arts, and hang out with me and my friends?" Now, I'm a testosterone emotional wreck at this point, right? Because, you know, I'm a boy and I'm just learning about various things. And here's this very attractive teenage girl with large hooters asking me if I'd like to shoot stuff and beat people up. And what I hear is, "Would you like to win my love?" And I said, yes. So for a little while there, I followed her into the fold of the Air Cadets and became a tool of the man for a short period of time.
Wow. You are totally a boob guy.
I'm not a boob guy.
Then what kind of guy are you? Are you an ass man?
No, okay, this is going to be hard to explain. I am a womanly shaped man. I like a woman who is shaped like a woman, okay? And so I like a woman who's well-proportioned in any way, right? So if she's, if she's large, she should be appropriately large, you know what I mean? Like, right. She shouldn't have, you know, like, that's why I don't like, say, Pamela Anderson, who has, you know, these huge, huge hooters and a thin, thin waist. You know, right. Like, I'm not saying, you know, if you have big boobs, you should be fat. I'm just saying, like, I like you to look womanly and look, you know, look good, look like you, you know, look like everything belongs in its appropriate spot.
Right.
And I like hips.
Hips?
So I'm into boob hip ratio, but I like that, you know, I sort of like the, you know how you're like into the hip bones, those two bones on the dude?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm sort of that way just with the curve of a female's hips and the way that they sort of, you know, complement the rest of her figure. That's what I am.
Okay. I believe that's acceptable.
Oh, well, I'm glad to hear that. I mean, don't get me wrong. I like a nice set of hooters and I'm a pretty big fan of the butts. I think this all stems from this stupid little incident in childhood. Okay. Here's the thing. I was an early bloomer. And you know, for whatever reason, once I hit about 5 or 6, I was into the dames, okay? And back then, back when I was 5 or 6, that's what they were, dames. You know, so I was 5 or 6 in the 40s, and I would hit on girls when I was that age. I really would. You know, there is tale of me at a laundromat with a nice young lady. I believe she had red hair. And I had an ice cream cone, and I thought, this girl would like me if I shared some of my ice cream cone.
Naturally.
Naturally. So I asked her, would you like to share some of my ice cream cone? And she said no, and I said, would you like to come sit next to me? And she said no, and I said, would you like to hold hands? And she said no. So I stood up, and I dumped my ice cream on the floor, and I said, well, fuck you then, and walked away. So that was my first rejection of a million
totally
more.
I see you doing that too.
Yeah, 5 years old. So I was an early bloomer. But my parents had no idea what to, you know, how to deal with me. My parents are somewhat into the bottle, if you will, and so really don't connect at all with other human beings. And so they never really knew how to handle my burgeoning sexuality. So they really didn't do anything until it became, to the point where they had to do something. I was nine, and one of my uncles was living with us in the room next to mine, and he had he was a cokehead at the time, and he had a lot of girly mags, and so I stole one of his girly mags, and I took it to my grandmother's house for Christmas, and showed showed it to my cousin. Isn't this great? Look, I'm nine. I don't, you know, it's not like I was utilizing the magazine for its intended purpose, nor was I reading the articles. I was just incredibly fascinated by the women, you know, like it was just one of those, like I'm looking at it going, I know I should be doing something with this woman right now. I don't know what it is. I know it makes me feel funny, but not in any kind of specific way. So it's somewhat innocent at that point, which is different than maybe some of the doctor incidents. Oh God, I'm going to have to step out of this story to tell another of how oblivious I am with women. So I don't know, I'm like 7 or 8 years old, which is a little old, I will admit, to be playing doctor with this other girl. I remember playing doctor with her. Apparently she did too, because I was going to get some beer one day at a beer store. That's what we have here in Canada, is just the beer store. Yeah, I know. Isn't that great? Yeah, but at least you know what you're going for, right? Like, it's a store. It's dedicated to beer. That's all they have, except for, you know, beer-related merchandise like hats. So I go into the beer store. So you know this is, you know, at least 10 years later, because I'm supposed to be at the beer store. I'm allowed to be there. And I go to get some beer, and the girl behind the counter says, you know, Chris, is that you? I'm like, yeah. She's like, you remember me? And I'm not sure at first. Like, I mean, I've, you know, she looks somewhat familiar, and she tells me her name. I'm like, oh my God, I haven't seen you in so long. And she's like, yeah, you remember when we used to play doctor? I'm like, okay, we're both like 20 now, and you're talking about that. And so I didn't get it. Like, I'm just like, uh-huh, yeah, no, I remember that. That was a lot of fun. And she was like, yeah, that was great. Good times, huh? We should get together. I'm like, yeah, we should do that sometime. And I walk away. And my friend says to me, what are you, stupid? No, what? Okay, if a girl says she liked playing doctor with you and wants to see you again, get her number, idiot. I didn't.
You did not get her number.
No. So back to the original story. So 9 years old, Christmas, showing my cousin porno mags. He doesn't get it, okay? He really doesn't, you know, at this point in his life, he doesn't get it. He never actually will. He ends up, postscript to the story, he ends up marrying the first girl who lets him kiss her. They met playing Dungeons & Dragons when he was 25. She was an elf. He was a rogue, lovable rogue.
Of course. Well, that explains all.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, look, there's nothing wrong with Dungeons & Dragons, don't get me wrong, and blah, 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 blah. But if the first girl you kiss is at age 25 and you met her playing Dungeons & Dragons, you probably got issues, is all I'm saying.
Probably. Just maybe a little bit.
Right. And also he used to, like, stick firecrackers up cats' asses, so... He may or may not be a serial killer at some point in life.
I'm going to go with he will probably be a serial killer.
Yeah, probably. All right, so long story short, we get caught with the porno mags because my cousin tattles.
Okay.
He tells his little sister, actually, and she tattles. His little sister is actually the only cousin I like now, but I hated her growing up. Hated her. I mean, forever and ever. I don't know why. It just we never got along. We hated each other. She hated me, don't get me wrong. And I'm pretty sure it's because her brother and I probably ganged up and picked on her a lot or something, but you know, hated her, she hated me. But now I like her. She's nice and funny and whatnot. She's actually my only family member that is a friend on Facebook. And I digressed again. I feel like I'm stoned and I'm just like moving off in these weird directions.
It is weird because I have not heard any of these stories you're telling me.
Right.
And I know a lot of your stories.
I know. Well, these are yeah, I haven't really been getting into telling much about my childhood until recently, mainly because I worry about telling bad stories. You know, and this one's bad enough because I got in a considerable amount of trouble for it. And you know, there were some lashes. There were some lashes. I'm actually quite surprised that I'm not into S&M because, you know, there's that theory in psychology that you tend to sexualize your sort of the first time you sort of start being aroused, and whatever kind of actions are concurrent with that arousal is what, you know, sort of becomes your fetish later on in life. And so I'm quite surprised, you know, considering the number of times that I got in trouble for playing doctor, and there was, you know, some physical retribution for that, and physical retribution for the Playboys. I'm actually quite surprised that I'm not into it, and I'm not, like, I'm, this is not me joking or making, you know, up for the cast or anything. I'm really not.
So you're just all into vanilla looking sex then, huh?
Well, not vanilla. I mean, like, I'm not a missionary, roll over and say goodnight, you know, thanks dear kind of guy, but, you know, I'm not into costume. Well, I'm not into like furry animal costumes. You know, I'm a, you know, dress up like a cheerleader and I'm in, right? Like,
right.
Or, you know, like, you know, sexy lingerie or whatever, but I'm not into like,
you're not going to,
you
know, bolt some bitch down to the screen door or anything like that, are you?
No. No. So my parents have to figure out at this point, you know, like he's, you know, he's getting overly sexualized here. You know, what's going on? They don't know what to do. You know, should we have the talk? Should we not have the talk? Well, they got drunk and didn't have the talk. And then, I don't know, I'm 10 or 11 and... You know, they know that they need to have the talk, but they're too chicken shit to have the talk, right? Like, they just can't do it. So instead, what they do is they purchase the joy of sex and more joy of sex to rather mundane sex manuals, okay? And they're not even really... I've since read them. They're not even really that good. They do have some, you know, they do talk about some seduction techniques and crap like that, and you know, how to, you know, how to please each other and whatnot.
Okay, but okay, hold on a minute here. How can you pick up sexual pointers from a fucking book?
Well, here's the thing. Okay, the book has... you know, detailed paragraphs. The other thing that the book has is detailed illustration. Okay?
Ha.
They have very detailed illustration. There's a problem with the detailed illustration, though. It was in, you know, sort of black and white, which is to say, like, it was just illustrations, figure drawings, you know, rather accurate figure drawings, don't get me wrong, but there was no, you know, body to them or anything like that. Now, at the time, I'm you know, still a child, but I'm also into sex, so I'm like, okay, this is pretty cool. How can I make this better? I know, I'll get my pencil crayons. I get my Crayola pencil crayons, my colored pencils, and I am going to go to town. And so what I do is I color in the joy of sex and more joy of sex.
Wow.
Yeah. And we're talking full detail here, okay? Because, like, they'll show, you know, in order to find, you know, here's the clitoris, everyone, you know, take note, gentlemen, this is where a clitoris is, you know, with big arrows and neon signs and shit like that saying, you know, this is important. There was a whole paragraph on it and everything.
Wow, a whole paragraph.
I know.
That's a whole lot. Dedicated to a spot like that?
Yeah.
Wow.
So that tells me that it was important, right?
Right.
I actually take the time, you know, to color it in multiple, you know, skin tones and, you know, pinks and sort of your soft reds. And I even, you know, because this is, these books were done in the 70s. So they have Bush, like they have 70s Bush.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So I'm coloring in the bush. I'm coloring in everything. You know, I'm coloring the little clitoris in and everything. You know, I'm like doing a masterpiece here because I don't know what else to do with it. You know, what else do you do with this book? Like, I know I want to read this book and I want to study it and learn it and everything. Like, there's this instinct in me that says this is very important and you like this.
Right.
So, you know, keep this close. And so I colored it in, and I can tell you right now, I have proof. The last time I visited my parents, I was staying in their they have a 3-bedroom house at, they turned my old bedroom into a spare bedroom, and then they turned my old bedroom, the first bedroom I had there, the smallest room, into like an office den storage room.
Mm-hmm.
But they were renovating the spare bedroom, so I was in the storage room where they have these bookcases, and on the bookcase was Joy of Sex and More Joy of Sex. They still have the books. They are still colored in. They are sitting right there.
That's pathetic.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's how that was my sex talk. Like, did you even at least, like, did you get a sex talk? Because I never got a sex talk. All I got was those coloring books.
You know, I didn't either. I don't think the talk is as predominant now as it used to be.
Well, no, because there is, you know, sort of sex ed at school.
But I never even had sex ed.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, I had sex ed at school. I mean, we had sex ed starting in grade 6, but I was retarded at the time. You know about that, right?
No.
You don't know that I'm retarded?
Well, I'm actually trying to be nice, but, you know, if you really wanted me to point it out and state the obvious, I'm going to.
But I have, you know, you really should read the blog, because I did mention this, I think, that I at one point was tested as having an IQ of 65, which is retardation, right? That's the top end of the retardation scale. So I'm fairly functional, as one can see. You know, I managed to string complex thought together sometimes.
Sometimes I think they're giving you too much credit.
Yeah. Well, no, actually, I wouldn't be able to do it any time if they were correct. You know. And I'm able to think about many things, just I don't understand women, I think, is what that test showed. But anyway, no, so I was in special classes for people that aren't very bright, where all they did all day long was color books and that kind of thing. That was learning.
You must have been a master coloring person.
I didn't do that, though. Because the teacher, unfortunately, the teacher didn't suck. She figured it out on, like, the first day. She's like, oh, you're not that way. I would just read. I read for 2 years. All I did was read and play on the computer, because our class had a computer. Now, the other kids were pounding on it and calling it the demon. I kid you not, that's something that happened.
They were pounding on a computer, calling it the demon.
Yeah, the demon, yeah, because they got scared. They saw it and got scared. This is the kind of class I'm in, right? Like, I'm in a very special ed class. Obviously, I got better. A couple of degrees under my belt and one with honors and the other one dean's list every semester. So, pretty sure I got better.
Looks like it.
Yeah, Anyway,
we still lack a few things, but
yeah, this is true. So I get this. I'm in this class. They take us to sex ed class, and I kid you not, here's what you're missing from sex ed class. The first sex ed class we had, the first half of the class was discussing different names for boobies. Okay. So what we had to do was sit in class and say everything that we, every name we had for breasts. So, I mean, like, you know, boobies, tits, jugs, you know, whatever name you could think of. There was like 50 names for boobs on the blackboard. That I remember. The other thing I remember from sex ed class was getting kicked out of sex ed class in grade 8 because...
How many sex ed classes did you people have? Shit.
We had sex ed every year from grade 6 through grade 9, so 4 years.
But see, okay, right, and I grasp that concept, but first of all, why are you going to teach sex ed to 7th graders? Like, I mean... If anything, it's the skanks up in high school that need it.
Yeah, but sex ed is also about puberty, right? And
yeah.
Because you're talking about 12, 13, and 14 going through, like, by the end of grade 6, you're 12, right? And many people have already started the change at that point. You know, it was very low, like, don't get me wrong, grade 6 was very low-key... and not very involved stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
But and then by grade 9, it's actually health class, and you're discussing, all the different options regarding AIDS and all of that, right? Like, I mean, it's
right.
You know, it's sort of a step up process. You start by just talking about, hey, our body is ourselves, and then you move in, in grade 7 and 8, you start dealing with attraction and, safe sex and that sort of stuff. And then grade 9, you start talking about health ramifications and societal implications of premarital sex, right? Like, it's so there's sort of a step up process, but. It's still, like I say, you're going there pretty early, but, it was, wow. You never had sex ed? That's crazy.
No, I haven't.
I mean, you're experienced now, like you pretty much could teach the course, right? I mean,
well,
assuming you were on your knees for it, right?
Well, I'm not very tall, so there are sometimes I don't even have to be on my knees.
Aren't short people awesome?
We are. We're very, very good for many things.
Yeah, well, we're pretty much out of time here. We've gotten to about the hour mark, and I just wanted to... I noticed that we didn't finish the one story. We started talking about KFC and my bad experience with KFC, and we didn't finish this story. It started off with me saying that they... they use sour cream instead of mayo on my chicken sandwich. And then the second time that I went in there after that, they didn't cook the chicken sandwich all the way through. They must have been having some kind of problem with their fryer. It was smoking and all sorts of weird things were going on with it. And so they didn't cook it. I got home, tried to eat it. It sucked. I walked in there about a week later. And, they were behind the counter and they were giving me the high sign for dropping my two sandwiches and whatnot. And I said, no, forget that. That's horrible. Manager comes over, ends up giving me 3 free meals out of the deal. I took away what I ordered that day. Plus, they gave me 2 free meals to recover the ones I lost. So I got to say the KFC Taco Bell people were awesome.
Only you can pull that off. I am never that lucky.
Yeah, you know what it is? It's because I didn't go right in complaining about, like, I didn't walk in and say, this is horrible. What kind of service is this? Because that makes people defensive. I just went in and they asked me if I wanted something. And I said no, and they were confused as to why. So I just explained to them, well, last 2 times it was kind of horrible. They realized I was a good customer, and they're like, you know what? Let's give this guy a little something. special. I know from people I talk to in customer service, that's the kind of thing they like, are not people that are blustery and yelling at them and telling them how bad they are, but people that are just like, listen, I want you to be aware. Here's what happened. It was somewhat upsetting to me. And you're much more likely to get people to be on your side that way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm not a nice individual. You know that.
Well, that...
That takes effort, okay?
It takes effort and empathy.
Yeah, and when was the last time you saw anything like that coming out of me?
Exactly. You gotta actually like people to do that. Any wonder why she wants to rule the world, people? It's because she can't stand us, any of us.
I mean, I like some of you, just not all of you.
Right. So that's it for this week. Wow, I just heard something go off in my headphones. Technology is kicking my ass today. Anyway, the point is, this is the One Monkey Media podcast. We're done for this week. Next week, you can expect, you know, essentially the first couple of podcasts here is just to get to know us, get to know our personalities, what we're about. And then we're going to get into stuff that's a little bit more what you're used to from the blog, where we're going to talk about pop culture stuff and that kind of thing. Like I said, these first couple is just about, you know, getting to know you. There's a little musical interlude for you.
I need to work on your singing just a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe I should never do that again, probably.
Maybe.
Yeah. Anyway, thanks very much for coming out and being willing to do this with me, Allie. I really appreciate it.
Oh, same time, same place next week.
Awesome. All right, guys, you have yourselves a great week, and you'll hear from us later next week. Bye now.
Bye.
Thank you for your time. I know we're all busy as hell. And we'll put this thing to bed when I bash your head open. I mean, no one's gonna eat your eyes. All we wanna do is eat your brains. We're at an impasse here. Maybe we should compromise.